So before I read our gospel this morning, I want to give some context, but not specifically to this reading within Luke, but the broader context of the Easter stories in all four of the gospels. So as you know, there's four gospel writers: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they all have resurrection stories. But what's interesting is all the resurrection stories are very different. And that shouldn't surprise us. These people, again, these gospel writers were not writing history. They were writing theology. They were writing to their specific communities and their specific time, trying to respond to the questions, the concerns, the needs of their community. And so they shape these resurrection stories differently. So just real quickly, Mark is the shortest story. Women go to the tomb. They find it empty. Some angels tell them that Jesus is risen and they should go tell his disciples. And we're told the women flee the tomb in terror and they don't tell anyone anything. And that's where Mark's gospel ends. It's a very kind of strange ending, and I'm not going to spend time now talking about why Mark would have ended his gospel like that. It's noteworthy to say, though, that others found that so incomplete that there's two other endings that people wrote to try to make Mark's gospel a little more complete, but that's how Mark wrote his gospel. Matthew is similar. Women go to the tomb, find it empty. The angels tell them to go tell the disciples again, but this time as the women leave, they run into the risen Jesus. And then they tell the disciples. The disciples go back to Galilee. They're down in Jerusalem. They go back up into Galilee, and Jesus meets them on this mountaintop, and he gives them what's called the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and lo, I will be with you always. It's kind of a very inspirational, evangelical kind of ending to the story. Very different from Mark's. John kind of has the most complicated story. So he has Mary Magdalene going to the tomb. She sees the stone rolls away. She runs back, gets Peter and John. They run to the tomb and go in and find it empty. They go back home, and then Mary meets Jesus in the garden. Thinks he's a gardener and then realizes it's Jesus. And then John has kind of his main, well, I shouldn't know if it's, that's the truth, but he has then the story that we might be familiar with, the story of doubting Thomas. And that's where, that evening of the resurrection, all of Jesus' disciples, except Thomas, who's at his son's soccer game or something, are gathered together, and Jesus shows up. And then later on, when Thomas comes back, the disciple said, "We saw Jesus." And Thomas says, "I don't believe you unless I can put my fingers in the holes and you know, see him with my own eyes. I'm not going to believe." And so a week later, they're all gathered. Thomas' kid lost the soccer game, so they're not in the tournament this week. And so Thomas is with them, and Jesus shows up and shows Thomas the scars and kind of proves that he's risen. And we get kind of that famous line. Jesus said, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." You see, I think what John is trying to address here in his telling of the resurrection is he's trying to respond to the people in his community who haven't seen and aren't going to see the risen Jesus. So how is it that people who don't get to see Jesus risen, like the original disciples, how do they come to believe? And so this is the way that John tells it, that people who don't see and yet believe are blessed. So now Luke, which I'm going to read here in a second, I think is trying to address the same question in his community. What about those of us who haven't seen the risen Jesus? But what's so interesting is Luke tells a totally different story to try to answer that question. So our reading this morning picks up right where we left off last week. The women came back from the tomb, told the disciples that they'd seen these two angels who said Jesus is risen, but the disciples thought it was an idle tale and didn't believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Then our reading this morning picks up. So this is now in the middle of the 24th chapter of Luke. Now on that same day, Easter Sunday, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all the things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Remember that line. And Jesus said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" Jesus asked them, "What things?" They replied, "Well, the things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. And moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They went to the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that Jesus was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women said, but they did not see him." And then Jesus said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" And then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. And as they came near to the village to which they were going, Jesus walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." And so Jesus went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And Jesus vanished from their sight. Remember that line as well. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" And that same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." And then they told them what had happened on the road and how Jesus had been made known in the breaking of the bread. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So once again, I think it's really important to keep in mind what Luke is up to here. Luke is trying to speak to the people in his community, his group of fellow believers who haven't seen the risen Christ, who are trying to figure out what it means to be a Christian, to believe in this risen Jesus if they hadn't seen him. It's important to keep in mind that Luke was written, well, we don't know exactly when, but scholars would surmise someplace between 90 and 120 BCE, or CE, excuse me, common error. In other words, 60 to 90 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. So most likely there are no more, you know, witnesses to this event. And so it's kind of a crisis, something that needs to be addressed. And so Luke tells this story of the road to Emmaus. These two disciples who are leaving Jerusalem, dejected, downcast. We had hoped, they say, that Jesus was the Messiah. But those hopes are dashed. But this person comes and walks with them, and this was the first line that I asked you to remember, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. I don't know what you hear in that line. I always kind of used to think it meant that somehow God kept Cleopas and his companion from recognizing Jesus. But I really think there's a much simpler explanation. They didn't recognize Jesus because they thought he was dead. And you don't look or expect people who you think are dead to join you and walk along a road. It's kind of the opposite of what the angels asked the women in the empty tomb. They said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" This is kind of like, why would the disciples expect to see the dead among the living? So let me try to put this in some context. Imagine you are shopping at the Westroads, and you get a call from someone you trust who says that Paul McCartney is at the Westroads. He's not performing or anything. He's just there kind of shopping on the down low. Now, real quick here, if Paul McCartney doesn't work for you, put whatever celebrity, big name person you want. I tried to find someone who wasn't, you know, controversial. How can anyone be upset about Paul McCartney? He was a Beatle. Anyway, so I want to keep talking about Paul McCartney, but if you want to put in someone else, Julia Roberts or, you know, some president, that's fine, doesn't matter. The point is, you get this call that Paul McCartney is at the Westroads. So how much more likely do you think you are to see Paul McCartney now that you know he's there? See, if you're not looking for him, if you don't expect him to be shopping at Westroads, which why would he be, you might even walk right past him and not notice him, because why would Paul McCartney be shopping at Westroads? On the other hand, if you believe this person who's called you and says, Paul McCartney is there, and if you're on the lookout, there's a much better chance you're going to see Paul. I think that's what's going on with these disciples. They weren't looking for or expecting to see the risen Jesus. And so even though he's right there with him, they're kept from recognizing him. So they walk along and they tell him about Jesus, which is ironic, and he kind of scolds them for not understanding that, you know, the scriptures, the Hebrew Bible, what we call the Old Testament, he says, points to this need of the Messiah to suffer and die. And so he opens the scriptures to them, and then they get to their destination. Jesus kind of keeps on walking. They invite him in. They sit down for a meal. And then the second verse I asked you to remember, then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and Jesus vanished from their sight. So what opened their eyes to recognize Jesus all of a sudden? They'd been with him all afternoon. Well, when Jesus was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. took bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it. That's a description of not just a meal, but the meal. This is communion, and this is what's going on here. They see Jesus as Jesus kind of reenacts this meal that he's told his disciples to remember him with, and where he promises to be with them. And so when Jesus does this, when he does this familiar act, this special meal where he promises to be present, then their eyes are opened. But then comes that strange twist. They recognized him, and Jesus vanished from their sight. Now, I want to ask what might sound like a strange question. Was Jesus really ever there? Was Jesus really ever with those disciples on the road to Emmaus and at that meal? Now, I wish you were all here so I could have you raise hands and see what you thought about this, and at least see what your faces look like right now. But I can't, so let me give you my answer. I think the answer is yes and no. So how's that for wishy-washy? See, once again, the whole point of this story is that Jesus has been with them all day long, and they didn't know it. And so, yes, Jesus was really there. And once again, keep in mind what Luke is trying to do with this resurrection story. What about people who never saw the risen Jesus? I think Luke is saying that the risen Jesus might be more present with you than you expect or that you can imagine. So Jesus, you know, does these two things that are what the people in the early church, what we still do today. He interprets Scripture, and he had communion with them. And in those two things, specifically and intentionally, Jesus is present with those disciples. And so Luke here is really offering us two ways to encounter the risen Jesus, in word and sacrament. So in reading of Scripture and interpreting it and sharing a meal, when we do those things, Jesus is really present with us. So yes, Jesus was really present with them. But I also think there's really something important about that line, their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Once again, since they weren't looking for him, they didn't see him. And I think the same thing applies to us. If we're not looking for Jesus, if we're not expecting to see Jesus, if we assume that the risen Jesus is now just gone somewhere and really doesn't do anything in the world, then I don't think we're going to see him either. Does that mean that if we look for Jesus, like we look for Paul McCartney in the Westroads, that we would see him in the same way we would see Paul McCartney? See, I don't think so. This is where the no part comes in. I don't know if Jesus was really physically there with them in a way that, you know, they could talk to him and touch him and have a conversation with him or go bike riding with him. I think, though, that which is most essential about Jesus, his love, his compassion, his acceptance, his forgiveness, his desire to bring in the least and the last and the lowest. I think those things are really present. And I see that whenever I see people act in those Christ-like ways, when people are loving and compassionate and accepting, when they care for the least and the last and the lowest, when they work for justice and peace. When I see that happening in the world around me, and I see it in you, and I see it in this congregation, and I see it anywhere, I see Jesus. Not in some physical way, but in the way that really matters. That part of Jesus that's most important. I also think Luke is right when he says we can find Jesus when we look to Scripture and interpretation and communion. I think there's places that God's presence, Jesus' presence among us is more likely to be seen, but I really like the point that I think Luke is trying to make here, that the risen Lord is with us. I think even though he was writing to an audience 2,000 years ago in a different culture, he's really answering the same question a lot of us have. I've never seen the risen Jesus. And Luke says, well, I think you have, or I think you can. I think you need to open your eyes. I think you need to expect and look for Jesus among you. Not some guy walking around in a long robe with sandals, but Jesus' love and compassion and acceptance and forgiveness. When we look for those things and we see them with the eyes of faith, we too will see Jesus.